Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Southwest adds a host of new cities to its Sacramento service. And here's a question. Would you pay a fee to drop someone off at the airport? Crazy, you say? One airport is thinking about it. We have an update.
In our Making You a Smarter Traveler segment at 3:20, we review a list entitled Tour Guides Tell All, how you should conduct yourself on a tour. And we just might throw in a thought or two of our own.
We've talked a lot on this program about airline vouchers, the ones they give out when a flight has a serious delay or is canceled or is overbooked. They seem like magical travel certificates, but they're not. At 3:35, our friend Ed Perkins is here to tell us how to handle the certificate situation.
Passports are the Bible of identification for international travelers. At 3:50, Gwen Duncan tells us about the pages of your passport. Did you know that you must have two consecutive blank pages to travel to Africa? Or that passports come in different sizes? Gwen has all the info at 3:50.
The dog days of August have turned into the dog days of September. Everyone in Sacramento thinks we live on the face of the sun. So wipe off your brow and find out what's up on the latest edition of The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise. To
Europe, to Alaska, I go north to Russia's own.
Lord, I was born a rambling man.
I come from a land down under.
I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
With the show.
Good afternoon, Sacramento, and welcome to the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Clayton Whitehead, sitting in today for Tom Romano, and to my left, my good friend and business partner, Mr. Mark Hoffman.
Mr. Clayton, good to see you here. Thank you for coming in to fill in for Tom today. He is out at a memorial service for his old buddy Johnny Hyde today, so that's why he's not here on this holiday weekend. So nice to have you come in, and thank you for your help with the headlines.
Thank you so much. I could have just been laying by the pool getting sun and, you know, having a
So what have you been up to all? We could ask you what you've been up to all week, but I know what you've been up to all week because our offices are fairly close to each other, and we've been working on the Sports Leisure Vacations tour catalog all week and into the weekend, and there'll be lots more still to do tomorrow.
And did we have the 2018 edition of our dream book, which we call our yearly travel catalog? We'll be going to the press here in just a couple days, and it will be distributed at Vacation Preview Day on Saturday, September 16th, just a little less than 2 weeks from now. So we're really looking forward to that preview event, and then it will be ready to mail out to all of our members, all of our past travelers, and anyone who calls in and requests it in the days that follow.
If you haven't made your reservations for Tour Preview Day and you are a Sports Leisure traveler, or you're just a mature, active, mature traveler who enjoys traveling with small groups of folks, you can contact Sports Leisure Vacations. You can go to sportsleisure.com or give them a call on Tuesday morning. There are still a few seats left for the afternoon session. The morning session is full. There will be about 700 people total that day at the Crown Plaza, two weeks from yesterday. So we have a lot of travel news today. We best get rolling to that. All right. Hurricane Harvey, of course, is in the news. And far be it that you should have to be rewarded for making a charitable donation. However, United and American Airlines are awarding miles to folks who make charitable donations through their website. United is awarding 250 miles for donations of up to $249. And if you donate $250 or more, they'll give you 1,000 miles. American is giving you 10 miles for every dollar that you donate, as long as it's more than 25. So, you know, I'm not saying that you should be rewarded for charity, but nonetheless, if it's there, why not take it?
So, Mark, that's money going to, let's say, the American Red Cross, but through the airline's portal.
Yeah, through the airline's portal, and then they'll give you a little thank you gift for being able to do that. The Highway Patrol is, I don't know if this is necessarily travel news. I guess it is. If you were out on the highway, you would be traveling. The Highway Patrol is patrolling statewide for drunken and distracted drivers this Labor Day weekend. They are doing what is called full enforcement. So if you are out on the road driving, particularly if you have imbibed in anything, alcohol or anything else, they are looking for you. Or if you're playing with your phone as you're going down the road, yeah, they're looking for you too. So do us all a favor and stay off the road until you're done texting or until you sober up. Southwest Airlines announced last week, Clayton, this is a pretty big deal. This is the largest expansion of air service in Sacramento by an existing carrier in a long time. Southwest, which had added service to Salt Lake City and to Spokane and to Long Beach already this spring, has announced that by next spring they will be adding nonstop service 7 days a week to Orlando, St. Louis, and Austin, and nonstop service once a week to New Orleans and Cabo San Lucas. The New Orleans flight will operate on Sundays, the Cabo flight on Saturdays. The other three are 7 days a week. The St. Louis flight leaves at 8:50 in the morning, comes back at 2:10 in the afternoon from St. Louis. The Orlando flight leaves at 11:45, great time for families that are leaving on vacation. You don't have to get the kids up at the crack of dawn. The Austin flight leaves at 6:30 a.m. every morning and comes back at 5:40 in the evening. So a lot of new choices for Sacramento travelers to be able to go to different places. Now you have two options of weekly trips to Cabo San Lucas, because Alaska Airlines had already started one of those. So if you're thinking about going with the family to Orlando, also with Southwest in St. Louis, you should know that that is a huge connection point for them and a much better airport to connect in than Midway in Chicago, much more dependable weather-wise and less air traffic. So if you can route yourself through St. Louis on that morning flight on Southwest, it'd be much better than trying to get yourself through Chicago if you're headed on to elsewhere in the country.
And you can pick up a Cardinals souvenir while you're there.
You can, absolutely. And Mike Shannon's restaurant is only open in the airport now. So Mike Shannon, an old Cardinal announcer who has a great restaurant. Uber has ended post-trip tracking of riders as part of their privacy push. You may not have known this, but every time you made an Uber ride, for the 5 minutes after you got out of the car, Uber was checking on you. So they claimed it was just for your safety. I'm going to suggest it was more like so they could sell that information to somebody later on down the road. But they have said that they will no longer do it, so it's a moot point. Clayton, did you know what the 10 food items TSA doesn't want you bringing on airplanes?
Well, I have personally witnessed jars of peanut butter and yogurt being taken away from flyers on many occasions. And then I also would assume maybe things like jams, jellies, wine, things that you might pick up as a souvenir item and not think about.
Peanut butter and yogurt. So I'm guessing that peanut butter yogurt is definitely off the list.
Oh, definitely.
The TSA's revised new list is wine. Yeah, that's kind of a no-brainer. Creamy dips and spreads.
So conjures up an image.
Yeah, exactly. Gravy, jams and jellies, as you said, salad dressing, salsa. This is one that comes up once in a while on tour. Somebody, like, can you get this through security? And the answer is no. Sauces, oils and vinegars, soup, and finally yogurt, things that you cannot take through TSA. Earlier this summer on this show, Clayton, we talked about tourism spots. You know about this. Around the United States, because of the fact that a certain type of visa was not renewed this year, a lot of places that relied on foreign workers for staff for the summertime had a very difficult time. These included Cape Cod, Mackinac Island, where we were during the summer, lots of destinations where...
A lot of summer theme parks.
Well, it would be wonderful if U.S. workers would take these jobs, but kind of like picking vegetables in California years ago, nobody wanted to do that work, backbreaking work for, you know, what amounted to a miserable wage. Now it's a little bit better out there, but foreign workers are willing to come in. On Mackinac Island, for example, they advertised those jobs to U.S. workers and still couldn't fill most of them. And the U.S. workers that they used, the Mackinac Island tourism folks reported that at the end of June, that of the U.S. workers who had come to take the foreign workers' place, almost a third of them hadn't made it through the month. So while I think it's wonderful that tourism jobs go to U.S. workers first, if the U.S. workers won't take the jobs, then why penalize these tourism destinations? Because one thing I'm going to just tell folks, the product, you may not know this. If you're listening to this radio station, you may, and you come across this program, you've never been here before. Tourism is the number one export of this country. Our balance of trade on tourism is higher than it is on any other single individual product that we trade with. More people come to the United States and spend more money here than we spend overseas. So consequently, it's a positive balance of trade. So it seems to me like you'd want to do things that would encourage people to come here and spend their money instead of things that didn't. Boston Logan Airport, we mentioned this in the headlines, is considering a drop-off fee. Folks are starting to use the new bypass to the airport there as a way to get through town faster, and it's causing traffic problems for the airport, so they may soon charge people to come through. There may be a toll to come through the airport property.
You mean I put up with the big dig for 20 years,
uh-huh,
and the result is that people would rather cut through the airport parking lot.
Think how the people in Boston feel. Speaking of getting it, sticking it to tourists, Iceland is looking at a 10% increase on their value-added tax, going to go into effect July 1st of next summer, just in time for our group to arrive. If you're planning on going to Iceland, it'll be 10% cheaper to go in June than it will in July. And finally, New Zealand plans to levy a $25 charge on international visitors. Starting next year, it would raise $75 million a year for tourism promotion. So that is, it's getting more expensive to travel. As I price tours for our catalog, it's amazing how much hotels have gone up in price 1 year, year over year. And that is your travel news for today. Coming up next, Clayton and I are going to tell you how to be a smarter traveler if you ever are on a tour bus. Maybe it's a day trip. Maybe it's several days. Maybe you're on an international country and you've taken a tour around an entire country. How should you and should you not conduct yourself? That's coming up next on The Travel Guys.
Welcome back to The Travel Guys. Oh, I accidentally talked a little bit on top of the music. Sorry about that, Mr. Mark. I'm Clayton Whitehead sitting in for Tom Romano. And I believe we have a Smarter Traveler segment coming up now.
We do. We do. We try to use this part of the program to make you a smarter traveler. Actually, we're trying to make the whole program to make you a smarter traveler. But I found this thing, and Clayton, since I knew you would be here this weekend, I thought this would be a perfect week for us to talk about this. I found it on Smarter Traveler. Tour guides tell all. This is how you should and shouldn't act on a group tour. By the way, I guess we should mention that all the things that we have here on Travel Guys, you can find at travelguysradio.com. You can also sign up for the podcast there. So I have a list of some of the things that Smarter Travel thinks that you should and should not do on the road. And so we'll see what you think, Mr. Clayton. How long have you been a tour director?
I escorted my first tour on June the 9th, 1981.
Wow.
So a few years.
So 30 plus years?
I was just a wee child.
So yes. me also. There, that's wonderful grammar for all the English teachers who are listening. Okay, so things that you should do. These are the things that you should do when you're out on a tour. These are things that you should do and then things that you shouldn't do. You should ask questions. Tours aren't lectures, they're conversations. That means you should be participating by listening and asking questions. I would agree with that.
But you know what's really not cool?
What?
Is to ask a question when you already know the answer because you're trying to put the tour guide on a spot. I mean, I just think that's bad manners.
Ah, okay. If you're talking about if you're in an attraction or something like that and you already know something.
Yeah, I mean, you all know the know-it-all person, you know, that sometimes is in the group and they raise their hand and say, what's the population of Cincinnati? And you say, oh, I think it's about 400,000. And then they say, it's 369,721. It's like, why did you ask the question if you already knew?
Get to know your fellow travelers. Kristen Mack of Talc agrees. We've had many incredible friendships and more than a few wonderful marriages launched among guests who first met on tour. We've had a couple of marriages on from folks
Absolutely.
That met on sports leisure vacations. Seeing the world with a group of like-minded, curious people truly embraces the travel experience. And I agree with that because oftentimes you'll find folks who didn't know who are placed next to other people that they don't know and find that suddenly they have a lot of things in common. And so one of the reasons that you would travel with a group of other folks is so that those people would enhance your travel experience.
Absolutely. A lot of us live alone or in relatively small social circles. So I think we consciously choose to go on a group tour because we want to be a part of the group and be a part of that energy.
Show appreciation. This is sometimes forgotten on a group tour because there's a stigma that you already paid for the trip and expect a certain amount of experience or level of service in return. Well, that may not be true, blah, 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 blah. And I thank the tour guide. Well, this is saying tip the tour guide. Perhaps we should move on from that since we're tour guides. Pick a compatible tour. This is really important and something that at our company, at Sports Leisure Vacations, we deal with on an ongoing basis, trying to match people to the trip, not only the trip that fits their interests, but the trip that fits their wallet, and the trip that fits their physical ability to be able to enjoy their vacation.
Absolutely. Every single tour product that's going to be available on any website, in any catalog, in any magazine, was created by someone. So I think if you have really specific expectations or needs, call the company and find that someone. There is somebody who knows all about it because there's someone who put it together.
The other thing, when it comes to package travel, you tend to get what you pay for. So if you are buying an inexpensive package, there's not going to be a lot of inclusions. And when you get out on the road, you're going to be hit up probably on a pretty regular basis by your tour guide or other staff, or opportunities are going to be there for you to purchase things to enhance your package. And if you're the kind of person who wants to have the freedom to add all that stuff as you go, that's perfect. But of course, tourism and travel has become so popular now that in many cases, you'll go out to a popular destination or get off of a cruise ship or something, and all of the availability for the time that you're there is gone. So if you didn't plan ahead of time, you're not going to have that experience. So it becomes more important. And if you're traveling with a tour company that should be providing you with the opportunity to book those optional things, or better yet, should be including them in the cost of your travel.
Absolutely.
Be open to plan B. Tour guides say be flexible. You and travel to experience new places, so be open to trying new foods, staying in hotels and hostels that aren't always up to U.S. standards, and soaking up local culture by chatting up your tour mates and locals. Clayton, you do a lot of international travel. Accommodations internationally are a lot different than they are in the United States. So do you ever have people who get into international tour situation, international travel is more expensive. The airfare is more expensive to get there and all the like. You get to these countries and you get into a hotel where you've paid a lot of money by U.S. standards to stay there. Do you ever have folks who are disappointed?
Sometimes. I think the biggest thing is the square footage. European hotel rooms are designed for Europeans to sleep in, whereas I think American hotel rooms are more designed for a lengthy leisure experience. They tend to be very large rooms. In Europe, very, very small. So I think that's one of the most shocking things is when you open a door and there's a bed and not much else, not much room for much else.
Mm-hmm.
And some people feel that, especially if they're new to international travel or a travel that they've been slighted in some way, once you travel to a number of countries and a number of hotels, you see that's just the way it is in Europe. It's a very different standard. Rooms are for sleeping. When you're awake, you're supposed to be out enjoying the beautiful country and destination that you've paid so much to visit.
You're listening to The Travel Guys on KFBK, AM and FM. Mark Hoffman here with Clayton Whitehead today, sitting in for Tom Romano. We're talking about being on a tour with a lot of other folks and some of the ways that you might or might not choose to conduct yourself that would be more or less proper. I guess sometimes when you're out on tour with a group, you and I have both had this experience, and I'm sure anybody who's been a tour director for a while has. You're in an airport. You've missed your connection. You know, you've got 25 or 30 or people sitting around and they're all looking at you. They're all waiting for you to come up with a solution to the problem. And unfortunately, with whatever resources you have, you may or may not have a solution to the problem at any given moment in time. But that doesn't change the fact that they're all looking to you. I think one of the things that people buy group travel for is the opportunity. They don't have to worry about it.
Exactly. The escort, the tour escort, the person in charge, whatever you wish to call him, they are your advocate. And they're there to make things as right as they can. And hopefully they have the resources to do so. I know I have been waylaid in Chicago, in Denver, in Detroit, in Newark so many times. I had a regular room at the Hilton. You know, I mean, things are going to go wrong. It's how the problem is solved, I think, that really gives you the measurement of the company you've chosen to work with.
I agree. Travel is an inexact science, and poop happens when you're traveling. I mean, it just does. It's amazing. It's why when I go on a long trip, on a 7-day trip, I carry eight pair of underwear, and the eighth pair is in my briefcase, is because I know that sometimes in the extra toothbrush, because if I've got clean underwear and I can brush my teeth, no matter where I am, I feel like those are my personal standards for survival, you know, that in an indoor plumbing. So those things are important. Let's talk about a few of the things that are maybe not so good that tour directors say report a problem. People who don't follow the rules, people who the trip is leaving, the tour group is leaving the hotel at 8:30 and they stroll up to the motor coach at 8:35. Or you stop at an attraction and you tell folks when it's going to be time to leave, and that's the time that they head for the cash register in the gift shop or something to that effect, or they're nowhere to be found when it's time to depart.
Yeah, that can certainly be a frustration on a tour, but I find very often the tour takers, the fellow travelers, will police that as well, if not better, than the staff member. You know, they're obviously, you have a sense of responsibility. If you're choosing to travel with a group, whether it's one other person or 50 people, you're giving up a little personal freedom for the extended and expanded experiences that can come by traveling with friends and relations and other like-minded people. So that's a little bit of the give and take, I think, that goes with it.
Be prepared when you're out on a tour. Remember that the tour director is not your babysitter. And depending too much on the kindness of strangers when you're traveling is probably not appropriate. If you have a situation that makes it difficult for you to travel, then probably traveling in a group is not always the best thing. Make your special requests ahead of time. Boy, is that ever an important one. Make your special look requests ahead of time. That's something to really emphasize.
It's so difficult to correct a problem or to change a menu or to get a special room when you're already at the place, and it's completely impossible to fix it the next day.
First day of a 7-day tour, I'm a vegan, and you didn't know that already. And my goodness, would it have been so much easier if you'd have just known that in advance. So making your requests in advance. And remembering that you're on vacation, logistics and all of those things are up to somebody else. So the reason you took that kind of a package is to not have to worry about it. So some tips about how tour directors tell you things that you should and shouldn't do when you're out traveling on a group vacation. Some of those probably apply to things like family groups also. I'm Mark Hoffman. Clayton Whitehead is here with me. We are the Travel Guys with you. When we come back after the break, we are going to talk with Ed Perkins. And Ed is going to talk to us about Make You a Smarter Traveler and talk about airline vouchers. Some of the, if you ever get an opportunity to get one, you'll know what to do with it. John is next with the news on KFBK.
Again, we're here. Believe it or not, it's the Travel Guys. You found us on KFBK. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And one of our favorite guests is joining us again to talk about a whole bunch of travel-related things that are going to make you a smarter traveler. That, of course, is Ed Perkins. Mark, what are you and Ed and I going to talk about today?
Well, Ed penned a great article a few days back about airline vouchers and how you might respond to them when they're offered to you. And we've talked a lot about that on this program the last few months, especially ever since the dentist got dragged off the airplane in Chicago by United Airlines. I think that generally the public, Tom and Ed, doesn't know anything about what happens when they get into a situation when an airline is offering them a voucher. And of course, some airlines' vouchers are very restrictive and some are not. Every situation is different, and sometimes you could get cash. And so who better than Ed Perkins to explain all of this to us in a way that might help you the next time you're at the gate and they're asking for volunteers, or they tell you you've been voluntold and you're not getting on the plane. Ed, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Always nice to be with you guys.
Ed, talk to us a little bit about this airline vouchers. What do folks need to know when they are presented with the opportunity by an airline says, well, we will give you a voucher? What exactly does the average traveler need to know?
The first thing is, how long is it valid? I've seen some, even airline vouchers, with a short-term validity of 2 months. And there are lots of circumstances when you might not want to travel again for 2 months. The validity length is very important. If it doesn't look like you can use the voucher within the stated limit, there's no point to the voucher. So that's maybe number one. Number two is, who can use it? Can you use it to buy tickets for your relatives or family, or do you have to buy it just for yourself?
Is it transferable to someone else?
Is it transferable? Yes. Another one that's important is, does it cover the whole price? Or are you going to have to pay taxes and fees in addition on top of that? One other way of having you lose money on them is, a lot of vouchers give you only one bite. Let's say you have a voucher that's $500 and you want to use it, and the ticket you want to use it on is $400. And if it's a one-bite voucher, that's all you get. You lose the remaining $100 of value because you only get it for one transaction. Another problem, again, is are there any limitations on what kind of fare or service that you can use it toward? For example, can you use it toward flash sale prices? Can you use it toward awards in a different cabin than the one you originally had? That could be important to some travelers. It could be not important to others. And, of course, the key question in all of this is, do you have the right to have cash instead of the voucher? Now, if you're getting bumped in the situation that we had back there in Chicago, you do have a right for a cash refund. And the question is, the face value of the voucher is worth less than the cash equivalent because of all the restrictions. So you've kind of got to decide, what's your multiple? Do you need a voucher that, say, twice the face value compared with the cash you get? The Canadian government actually says you should ask for three times. So if you have a choice between, say, $500 voucher and $500 cash, I mean, there's absolutely no question about that. That's a no-brainer. You take the cash. The first thing you have to know as a traveler is, do you have the right to demand cash or either a cash penalty or at least a full refund? And in the event of a cancellation, for example, you have a right to a full refund no matter what. So the airline offers you a voucher because it would much rather give you a voucher than cut you a check. So the airline might not be very forthcoming about whether or not you have cash options.
In reality, if it is a cancellation, they are required to give you cash if you ask.
That's correct.
So if folks are at the airline counter or they're, you know, now United is being more proactive in trying to do this when you're trying to get flights unoversold when people are checking in. But let's say you're at the counter and they say, all right, we'll give you a $400 voucher. And you go up to the counter and you say, all right, well, I'll take the voucher, but I'd much rather have $200 in cash, unless, of course, I know that I can use that voucher. And as you point out, people have to be really careful. Here in Sacramento, we don't have Spirit Airlines or Frontier Airlines. But if we did, we had Frontier previously, and they might show up sometime, or you might find yourself someplace where you say, wow, these guys have a great fare. Just know that there are a lot of asterisks that come with that great fare. But if you get into a situation with Spirit where they have a canceled flight or something, exactly as you said, they're going to give you a voucher that only has a window to be able to use it for 2 months. You've really got to do your homework and really got to know what you're getting, wouldn't you say?
Exactly. And I mean, I'm sure that in Spirit's case, an awful lot of those vouchers never get used. I mean, look at this Texas situation. If you had a trip scheduled to Houston, see family, friends, relatives, whatever, they're not going to be ready for a visit within 2 months, and you don't want to go to Houston within 2 months. So if you have a voucher that's only good for 2 months, you're holding a worthless piece of paper. So it's very important to take a look at the fine print before you accept a voucher, particularly when you have the alternative right to a refund.
We're talking with Ed Perkins, one of our consumer travel advocates who frequently is with us here on the Travel Guys. We've been talking about airline vouchers and some of the tips that you might be able to use if you're ever presented with an opportunity to get one of those. You can find information on what Ed has been talking about at travelguysradio.com if you've just been driving around listening. Ed, before you go, I want to ask you about a couple of other things you've opined about recently online. One is, you wrote an article about beware fake economy, fake premium economy on U.S. flights. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, a couple of airlines in the U.S., the ones I checked recently were Delta and Virgin America, are listing in the information that they give to the online travel agencies and the metasearch sites, they're listing their extra legroom as premium economy. And real premium economy is something different. I mean, the extra legroom, you get 2 or 3 inches more legroom, and that's it. You're still in those same narrow economy seats. Real premium economy, the seats are wider, and you get a lot more legroom. So in my view, at least, advertising that some extra legroom service as premium economy is deceptive.
What's new?
Yeah.
Well, and the deal is, if you're selling somebody a few inches of extra legroom, then call it a more legroom seat.
That's
but
right.
if you're talking about a premium economy product, that should come. There maybe should be some food and beverages accommodations there. And, of course, you would get on early and there would be, you know, maybe a hot towel or some of the services that you might expect to get in first class, if they're truly going to call this a premium economy product. Ed, I see some of the airlines are copying JetBlue out of San Francisco and Los Angeles, have been doing cross-country lie flat beds in first class. And I see now we have American Airlines is going to copy there. Speaking of airlines, Ed, before I let you go here, you talked about some new startup airlines maybe in the U.S. Is there any hope? I saw where you wrote a little bit about Midwest Express, an old consumer favorite. There might be a possibility it might be coming back?
I would not hold my breath till it happens. I mean, there's a website that says we're trying to do this. But as far as I know, they don't really have any financing yet. And I frankly think that what seems to be their business plan of reviving it in Milwaukee really doesn't make sense. If you're going to revive a real premium airline, it seems to me the place you do it are the places where there are a lot of premium travelers. And that means Silicon Valley and New York and places like that. But we'll see. They're saying that Milwaukee's lost traffic and maybe a new Midwest Express can fill that hole. I don't know, but I think it's not going to happen don't plan on it for your next trip.
Okay, all right. Well, Ed, you mentioned that you're about to head out to Switzerland. I hope you have a wonderful journey. Anything in particular that you're planning on doing when you're there?
Well, yes, I am. I do quite a bit about rail travel. And this is actually a trip where several of us are going to be riding some of the key scenic Swiss trains, mm-hmm. the Glacier Express, the Bernina Express, and the new one that they've just installed over the old Gotthard route to keep that route alive, even though the bulk of the traffic is now going through that new base tunnel.
Awesome. That ought to be a lot of fun. Bring us back two things, one of those Swiss knives. And of course, a watch.
the only downside I see so far, I've been looking at the long-range weather forecast over there, and there may be a fair amount of rain. We're just going to have to see.
Ed, travel safe, and we would love to talk to you when you get back and get a little travel log from Switzerland. Take care, my friend. Thank you very much for your time.
Well, you're very welcome. It's always nice being with you.
Our good buddy Ed Perkins, of course, that interview was recorded a little earlier this week when Mr. Romano was around. Mr. Whitehead is sitting in today on the other side here. Have you ever gotten a voucher from an airline?
You know, Mark, I have. I've taken the voucher 2 or 3 times over the last couple of years.
Have you used them all?
Oh, yeah, I use them. See? But I learned something from the story. It never even occurred to me to ask if there was a cash option. So now I know. I'll ask for cash.
Yeah, well, Ed's been around a long time. If Ed says it, why, then it's probably pretty much true. We are making you a smarter traveler today. We have one more smarter traveler segment coming up. Gwen Duncan is going to talk about passports, and not about renewing your passport and all that stuff necessarily, but the pages of your passport take on some special significance in some special situations. Gwen Duncan is back with that after this break.
You found us. Here we are. We're here again. It's the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. I'm Tom Romano. Immediately sort of to my left, Mark Hoffman, and one of our favorite travel agents and guest, Gwen Duncan, talking about passports today, Mark.
Yeah, passports. A lot of folks use a passport to travel, and it's the official international method of identification when you're traveling.
For citizenship.
So, yeah, for citizenship. So, Gwen, I never knew that there were two different sizes of passports.
Yes, and I didn't know that until the last time I renewed. There's the 26 page, and then there's the 52 page. It doesn't cost any additional amount to check the little check on your application that says you want the passport book or do you want the 52 page, and you just check it and you get 52 pages. What's the benefit of that? If you're well-traveled, it's best to have as many empty pages as possible.
Well, I have a quick question.
Yeah.
For those of us that don't have passports
yes,
and have
sir.
Not traveled internationally.
You can't go anywhere.
I know. but go ahead and explain to the listeners that may not have them, what is the purpose of empty pages? Please.
The purpose of empty pages is when you enter a country,
yes.
you get a stamp, and you get a stamp in your passport. Not
yes.
always, but generally they will stamp, so your passport becomes a record
okay,
of all of the international countries that you visited
there
and
you go.
When you visited them.
So the empty pages are where the stamps go.
Exactly.
Well, they also are where the visas.
Yes,
the
or
visas.
Where a visa can be attached.
Got it. Okay. All right. Continue on.
Okay.
You
Thank
cannot
you.
Get a visa without a passport. But you can get a passport card without a passport. And what's the difference?
Okay, what's the difference between a passport and a passport card?
Okay, a passport card looks like a license.
Okay.
You make application and you don't need your passport, you know, to apply. It runs $55 now. It used to be $20, $30, but it's $55. But it started up in 2007 to allow people to be able to drive from the U.S. into Canada or into Mexico. When they started the thing where you needed passports to do the Caribbean and everything, you know, they made that big
oh,
thing about
yeah.
that.
Oh, yeah. Well, when I first went in business, Tom, you didn't have to have a passport to go to Canada.
That's right.
Or Mexico. You could get in with your driver's mm-hmm. license.
That's right.
So that, a number of years ago, that went away.
That took
and
care
so
of it.
And so this passport card, you're saying, like for people who live in, for example, Windsor or Detroit,
yes.
who are constantly going back and forth across the border, but may not ever travel anywhere else internationally, they could get this card
yes.
to allow them to easily pass into our neighboring countries.
Yes. Now, one thing you have to keep in mind is if we've gone to the government site, it says that the passport card is good for going to the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
So the assumption is that you'd be able to use it on cruises, and in many cases you can. But there are some drawbacks about that. If you take a passport card and the cruise line may not accept that, they may want a passport. I mean, they've got different rules, different lines. But when you go and you're allowed to go on a passport card, and let's say you have an accident. I've seen this happen twice, once in Mexico and once in the Caribbean. Someone's taking pictures. They back up. They fell into a ditch. They end up in the hospital, and they have to be flown home.
Mm-hmm.
You can't fly home with a passport card.
And you could end up in a country that wasn't that was a country that was on the cruise ship's itinerary that you hadn't planned on going to.
Yeah, anything could have happened.
So really, the passport card is really only for people who live like in Blaine, Washington, and need to go to Vancouver. Or
That's right.
Detroit, Windsor, something like where you're crossing the border all the time. So for people who live around here, you really need a full passport,
yes. Now, one thing you want to know when you're looking at that passport application, it's going to have a check for 26 pages,
mm-hmm.
one for 52, and there's another one for you to purchase both. Personally, why would you get both?
Okay.
Why would you get both?
So you want the 52-page passport.
I would get a 52-page because I'm well-traveled.
But you might, yeah, exactly. Unless you just knew that this was the only international trip you were ever going to make.
And it doesn't cost anything.
It doesn't cost anything, so why mess yourself
exactly.
up? Yes, Tom?
Does the duration of the life of the passport, is it the same as it is for the passport card? Are they both 5 years?
No. The passport card, I believe it is 10 years. I think it is 10 years.
Well,
I should look that one up.
The passport is 10 years.
The passport is 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it used to be...
good question. You have stumped the expert.
Yeah, you have. I will find out.
Question of the day.
We will report back to you on the length of validity for the passport card.
One note I want to make. We've had what brought this whole discussion up is we had clients. I've read in the trade, you know, different things that horror stories
right.
where people have done things on their own. They know everything or they just go on the internet and they just decide they're going to book.
Sure.
And this lady decides, okay, she needs a passport to mm-hmm. go to Jamaica for her honeymoon.
Okay.
And a friend of hers says, oh, those cost $110. Why don't you save some money and just get the passport card? It's a little smaller and everything. So she did. So she goes to the airport to go on her honeymoon, mm-hmm. and they said, oh, no, this is not for international travel. And it's not for air flights. You can't use it to board an airplane.
Okay, so beware of passport cards. If someone says, do you have a passport card? Those are mostly for people who live in border crossing cities and are constantly crossing the border. If you don't live in one of those cities and you live in a place like Sacramento, you want to have a full passport. You want to get a 52-page passport if you possibly can when your passport is renewed.
Yes.
And you want to be aware of the fact that going to some countries and or continents may have specific rules about your passport that you may want to be aware of before you depart and you get there. Also, you had a note here, Gwen, about TSA versus global entry. Folks ask which is best. TSA, of course, is only for domestic. And global entry is if you're going out of the country.
That's right.
So it costs a little bit more. It's $100. Both are good for 5 years. So like I don't travel much internationally. I have the TSA pre-check.
Okay.
But if I knew I was going to start traveling internationally, then I would go get the global.
And what you need to know.
And you get those from different people.
Yes. But the global, the good thing about the global, it will guarantee that you get the TSA line for domestic travel.
Right. If you have the global, they just send you down the TSA.
Exactly. And you have to go for an appointment. In San Francisco is our closest one to get an interview to get the global.
To get the global. TSA, you can get an interview at the airport. If you're not completely confused by all of this, you can go to travelguysradio.com and I will post all of Gwen's information. Thank you, Gwen Duncan, from Cordially Yours Travel.
Thank you.
For all of your wonderful information, making us smarter travelers, Gwen Duncan. Thank you.
And Gwen was talking about whether or not passport cards, they are valid for 10 years, same length of time as passports. Gwen sent me a note here. And also to let you know, a little bit of an update on the South Africa thing. South African law requires travelers to have one blank page, but some South African immigration stations have insisted that people have two blank pages. So there seems to be a little bit of a disagreement on that. If you're going to Africa, I suggest that you have the two blank pages just in case you get the guy with the, you know, who's having a bad day. Mr. Clayton?
And I was in South Africa just this past December, and they used one quarter of one page. But I had the requisite two just in case.
Well, there you go. One is for the temporary residence sticker, apparently, that they apply. But you say you didn't get one.
So. I did not. Just a rubber stamp, and that was it.
Thank you for coming in and filling in for Mr. Romano today and helping out.
It was a pleasure. It was a pleasure.
Much appreciated. Tom will be back next week. Next week, we're going to talk to the man who owns the Clown Motel, which is for sale in Tonopah, Nevada.
I'm afraid of clowns.
I know that. And we're also going to talk to the lady of the Venetian Room in San Francisco, announces their schedule for next year, next week. So those will be our guests. You have a wonderful week. Remember to dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock.